Talk Station.
It's 8:30 here at 55 KRCD Talk Station. It's Thursday, stating the obvious. It's time for iHeartMedia aviation expert Jay Ratliff, who joins the program every week at this time to talk about usually some pretty comical and sometimes a little terrifying stories. Jay, welcome back, man. I hope you're well.
Very, very well.
Wow. That was an unequivocal double very. That's great. I love hearing that, man. In spite of the price of airlines, airfares, which we'll get to momentarily, but first, one that's not on your list of topics, I was talking about as we went into the break, that guy who took over the single-engine plane never had any flight experience. The pilot became what they said incoherent. I don't know what that means, but he was disabled. This guy was cold as ice, man. He was on the radio just as calm as he could be. I think I'd be freaking out a little bit. How in the hell was he able to land that plane safely, and how did he even know how to operate the radio, Jay?
Well, that was my very first question, my friend, because when I was reading this, I was like, hey, I'm impressed he knew how to use the radio on the right frequency to ask for help.
But, right.
You know, in the air traffic control center, they had an air traffic controller that was on break at the time. They went and got him. He is an air traffic controller, but he's also a flight instructor. So he sat down and talked the guy down. He wasn't familiar with this type of aircraft, so they had him print off a diagram, a picture of what the cockpit looked like. They put it in front of the air traffic controller, and he told the guy what to do, when to do it, those types of things, and talked him down. And you know, I love stories like this because they get on the ground, the two of them meet, they hug, they thank each other, blah, blah, blah. And the guy in the plane says he was going home to be with his pregnant wife. And, you know, you see that and it just makes you feel really, really good. And it goes to show, again, the air traffic controllers that we have around the country. Normally in every center, you've got someone that has some flight experience of some kind that can help in a situation like that. But Brian, I'm telling you, it was just a great, great story, and one that it was nice to see.
Well, maybe he spent some time in his little flight simulator program on his home computer at some point. I don't know.
We'll find that out as we progress for sure. But let me look, it's just a great story. And, you know, I don't want to oversimplify anything that involves aviation because it's not a simple thing. But the idea that, as you referenced, the guy could remain in control. He didn't panic. He just took it a step at a time because you can panic when you get on the ground. But, you know, I've been around pilots that have had in-flight emergencies, and I've heard them on the radio calling back when an engine stops operating or there's some other sort of mechanical emergency, and they're on the radio like, oh, you know, no big deal, you know, here we go, those types of things. Like it's you know, an everyday thing at the office, where I'd be freaking out if I was up there sitting going through some of the stuff these people are going through.
Yeah, and you know a little bit about aviation too, Jay. Now real quick before we leave this topic, and I want to jump to number two because it seems to parallel, because we have some suspension for failing pre-flight breathalyzers. But is there an ILS on a single-engine plane like that? Do they have that sort of jet-like, it sort of brings you in, you follow the little thing to the landing?
Typically, no, but on this one they may have had. You can upgrade and have those types of systems on there without any problem. But again, just having the ability to have those tools at your disposal is one thing. Using them in a calm fashion, totally different. Yeah. And hats off to everybody involved in this one for sure.
Well, he certainly was able to get the flaps down, so that's great. Well, and again, let's jump to the Indian aviation regulators. They had to suspend some pilots. This was a rather comical little read here. Failing pre-flight breathalyzer test, and there's a lot of them.
40, both pilots, flight attendants. Now, if I'm in India, I'm thinking, I don't know whether or not I'm going to be completely comfortable in jumping on one of these airplanes, because during the pandemic, they kind of relaxed some of the rules, so to speak, with regards to the in-flight, you know, your alcohol usage and things of this nature. And to think that 40 of these individuals failed their breathalyzer test is scary. But I think what's scarier is the fact that their rules say that if you are a pilot in India who, for any of the Indian airlines, and you are caught with, on a pre-flight breathalyzer test, you fail it, you're barred from flying for 3 whole months.
Three.
Now, I'm sorry. I would prefer a little stiffer penalty for individuals, but that's okay because the second time offenders are banned for 3 years. And if you do it a third time, this time we mean it, you lose your license for good.
Well, maybe that's because there's a pilot shortage, Jay, which Spirit Airlines would say, no, that's a myth.
Look, I love Spirit. They march to the beat of their own drum. But Ted Christie, who's the CEO for Spirit, says, look, it's more mismanagement than anything else. And certainly there's a degree of truth to that when you look at how airlines handled last year when you and I were talking about how they tried to run a full flight schedule knowing they didn't have all their pilots back, creating a nightmare in the early part of the pandemic there. But the bottom line is he's saying that, look, we're going to get through this summer better than people expect. Now, he is the lone voice of this, and I would certainly suggest that I don't know that I would completely agree with him, because when I see airlines canceling future flights in the summer and the fall, and airlines hate to do that, it's like pulling teeth for them to give up any revenue opportunity at all.
Right.
To me, that is a situation that says they're seeing the numbers, and they simply don't have the deep bench to operate all the flights that they want to right now. So as a result, they're going to have to try to do what they can to make it through. And you talk about an interesting summer, Brian. This when we hit Memorial Day forward, buckle up, because it is going to be a very, very interesting time period as we watch what happens to commercial aviation.
Well, we're going to get a little insight into how much it's going to cost you, too, to fly. Going through the roof, that's one of the topics we'll address coming up. Plus, we have a TSA issue as well. I had my sister had a run-in with the TSA the other day. She wasn't real happy. We'll continue with Jay Ratliff. It's 8:37 right now, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Oh, time for me to mention Odor Exit. To get rid of all the stench in your world, Odor Exit to the rescue.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
8:41, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Man who has been in the cockpit, iHeartMedia aviation expert Jay Ratliff, who we talk to every Thursday beginning at 8:30. Running through the topics, and I want to talk about this TSA guy. My sister had a run-in. She flew successfully to Florida, and on her return trip, she didn't know it, but she had a pocket knife that was in one of her bags, and the TSA person obviously saw it and flagged it and took it from her. It was a gift I had given her some time ago. I found out that once I started carrying a pocket knife, and I have been for years, I use it every single day a lot. And reasoning how functional it is, I gave one to her. And she said, oh, I was using it all the time. I didn't even know it was in there. And I got to Florida with it in there. And, you know, but her comment was just how rude they were, just mean, not even remotely sympathetic. And I said, well, you know, it's kind of like the Postal Service. You know, you got this job and people are complaining all the time. And who gets more complaints than a TSA agent? So anyhow, but I see a man posted something online about TSA security, and it didn't quite go the way he was expecting.
No, in fact, he was going to propose to his special young lady in in the security line. And he contacted the airport in advance in Reno, contacted the TSA. Everybody was on board with it. They took videos of it. The TSA captured the moment and put it on their website saying, shoes off, rings on. Can't think of a safer place to propose than in security. And the man, of course, plastered it all over his social media, expecting it to go viral. And you know, Brian, it did. But not exactly the way that they or the TSA thought, because he was attacked. People came out of the woodwork saying, how stupid can you be? That's not romantic. With others saying, don't you dare propose and slow my line down if that. And one of the better lines was from a woman that says, I don't care if you're the love of my life. You proposed to me in a TSA screening line and we're over. So both the TSA and the man quickly removed their posts from social media, especially after not getting the response they thought.
Well, I get the holding up other people in line. That would irk me. But clear, as she said, yes, I presume. Clearly, he knew her well enough to know that that was going to go over fine. You know your betrothed or your would-be betrothed better than anybody else, so you can criticize them for the venue, and Lord knows I wouldn't do it, but there have been proposals in Walmarts, for God's sake.
Yeah, and if, you know, maybe they met there. And
yeah,
maybe
there you
that's
go.
Been the case, but then we're talking about a man. So the man might have had ulterior motives. So he's proposing before a flight. So who knows what the background here was. So, you know, it could have gone in any direction.
If she said no, they would have canceled the flight, his flight. Mm-hmm. Oh, goodbye. You're not going on vacation with me. All right. I get that as well.
Yeah, you don't get your ticket if you don't say yes.
That's right.
You'll propose before you go through. Who knows?
Yeah, she'll withdraw the acceptance once they return from the vacation. Anyway.
And she's probably less excited about it now, given the reaction that their event has.
Yeah. I don't know, something to talk about. You know, it's the goofy things that happened in weddings that are hilarious and make them memorable. I had a cousin by marriage get married, and the priest, we went to Puerto Rico for this one, the priest got his name wrong. He kept calling him Carlos. That wasn't his name, so I've been calling him Carlos ever since, and the family was mortified, and I thought, no, that's a great wedding story. I mean, what's wrong with that?
It would last forever, absolutely.
I would have, but no, the family didn't view it that way. But then again, I find humor in the fun, in the most interesting places.
As do I, and much to the chagrin of my wife.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You're still married after all these years. 30 for me coming up in June, Jay. Airfares, wow. Gee, I guess they're not immune from inflationary pressures either. Tell me about the increase in flight cost, Jay.
Yeah, up 11% 1 month, 18% the next month. They continue to go up. In fact, it was the highest single month increase in airfares that we've ever seen. But really no surprise. And you and I have been talking about it for months and months and months and months about how busy this summer travel season was going to be and how the increase in fuel cost and the increase for demand for travel was going to absolutely send these prices into orbit. And the best way to protect ourselves is to buy our tickets in advance. And I get emails from a lot of people in our audience that say, Jay, I listened to you and Brian in February, and I thought about, you know, and I looked at the fares, and they're $238. Now they're $515. Do you think they'll go down? And I'm like, no, they're probably going to keep going up from here. So the bottom line is, if you're going to be traveling anytime this year, end of the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, spring break of next year, whatever it might happen to be, look at locking in some of these fares now. Grab the trip cancellation insurance as a protection. But, Brian, these fares are going to go up. And as airlines continue to cancel some of their flights through the summer because of a pilot shortage, the idea is now we have fewer seats, we have increase in demand, higher operating costs for the airlines. I mean, it's the perfect storm for airfares going up. And boy, are they ever, unfortunately, you know, at the cost of, you know, us paying more. And for the airlines, they're looking at this coming out of the pandemic as the season where they're going to make a great deal of money. And we could see more people flying this summer than we've seen in non-pandemic summers. So it's going to be packed. And that means get to the airport early. And even though people didn't listen to us about buying their tickets early, I sure hope they listened to us about getting to the airport early, because it's you're going to see flights that are oversold. People aren't going to arrive at the gate of departure when they're supposed to, and they're going to miss their flights and not have another backup for, you know, several days, perhaps, to get out of the city they're in.
Well, I know my sister, I think she paid more than $600 for the round trip ticket back to Florida and back, when you used to be able to get down to Florida and back for a couple of hundred. So anyhow, real reflection of where we are.
Excuse me, Brent. There are fares at cvgairport.com on Frontier where I think Orlando was round trip for $85.
Whoa!
So you could click on that to see what the dates were. I doubt they are for this summer, but it might be September, because September and May are the two slowest travel months of the year. So if you can be flexible, certainly fly during those times, because hotels are cheaper, airfares are cheaper, car rentals are cheaper. If you can do it in May and September versus that busy summer travel season, because they are going to get us for every penny they can for June, July, and August.
Got to make up for the losses during COVID. I certainly understand that. And, of course, a lot of these problems way out of their hands, fuel particularly. Real quick, I saw, before we get to the hub delays, I saw that the European Union has removed the mask obligations for flights now as well.
Yes. In fact, the International Air Transport Association, the body that oversees the industry around the world, says that because of that and other things that are taking place, we're seeing a more rapid return to normal travel numbers. And they thought we would get back to pre-pandemic level sometime in 2024. Now the estimate is 2023, sometime next year.
Oh.
Asia right now is the only area of the world, for all the obvious reasons, where there's still a slowdown from the international side of things. But domestic and internationally, you're seeing more and more. You have the Delta CEO coming out saying that corporate travel is back.
Of course,
he's the same one that said we were going to have more corporate travel after the pandemic than before. So he may be doing more cheerleading than anything else. But we are seeing more corporate people flying. So that's still the case, but they're nowhere near yet what it was pre-pandemic, but we're moving in that direction. So a lot of things for the airlines right now give them cause to celebrate, and hopefully the trend will continue other than the increase in airfares.
Maybe even a buying opportunity in the stock market, Jay, for these airlines.
Well, if they present some time. I didn't want to tell you, but I made $2,600 while we were talking.
You do that all the time.
Yeah, well, I told you I should talk to you more often. But no, airlines still have some issues coming forth, especially this summer, because if they have some operational difficulties and some other things that take place, just because they're making more money doesn't mean their stock should be more profitable, because they still have some operating issues at play this summer that, I'm telling you, it's going to challenge us like we've never been challenged before. They don't have a deep bench. So when there are irregularities where they would normally call additional people in to try to help get them out of a computer or weather situation, they don't have that. So as a result, some of these issues that hit are not going to be a day or two. It's going to be a week or so, and that's really going to be challenging people that are working at the airports this summer. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that. And Jay, in addition to being an iHeartMedia aviation expert, is quite the expert in terms of stock trading as well. We occasionally go down that road for listeners who are just tuning in and hearing Jay maybe for the first time. Jay, finally, we always conclude with hub delays. What's the status of travel here?
You know, Salt Lake and Seattle could be the two hubs across the country that give us headaches 30 to 45 minutes. But other than that, across the country, it's going to be just a beautiful day to fly. Going to be some turbulence in some areas, so not dangerous, uncomfortable. Just keep your seatbelt fastened about you as you fly. And if you picked a day, you picked a good one.
Jay Ratliff, always enjoy our conversations. It's a welcome change from the headier political topics we deal on morning shows. So I'll look forward, as I always do, for another segment with you next Thursday, beginning at 8:30. Jay Ratliff, God bless you and best of health to you and your family.
To you as well. Thank you.
Thanks, man. 850, 55 KRC.